Welcome to the Deep Dive. You've shared a really fascinating collection of updates, haven't you? All about network attached storage and, you know, related tech.
Yeah, quite a mix this time.
We've got Synology, QNAP, Raspberry Pi news, storage hardware.
Yeah.
The works. So our mission today is to unpack all of that for you. We'll pull out the most interesting bits, give you the lowdown on what actually matters.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're a home user trying to manage photos, a small business needing solid data protection, or just, you know, tech curious.
Absolutely. And these sources, they really cover the gamut. Software updates for Raspberry Pi OS, new NAS features, some pretty cool hardware announcements from Synology.
Yep, the SSD is getting faster again.
Oh, yeah. Definitely some leaps forward there, too.
Oh.
It's a lot, like you said, but we'll try to zero in on the key things and connect the dots for you.
Okay, sounds good. Let's dive right in then. QNAP first. They've been talking up their high availability solution.
Right, HA.
Now, for anyone maybe not fully up to speed, high availability, HA. So it basically means having a backup system ready, right?
Yeah.
If the main one conks out.
That's the core idea, yeah. And historically, you know, setting that up could be pretty complex, expensive even. Usually something only bigger companies with dedicated IT teams would tackle.
Right.
What seems interesting here is QNAP is aiming for something easier to deploy and also more cost effective. They're specifically mentioning SMBs.
Small and medium businesses.
Exactly. And even like individual professionals who need to watch their budgets.
So the big payoff is avoiding those.
Yeah.
Those awful outages. Yeah. When your crucial stuff just goes offline.
Precisely. Think about a small business. Maybe they rely heavily on a file server. If that server goes down.
Disaster.
It can be. Lost data, people can't work, maybe even damages their reputation. So this HA solution, it's designed to minimize those risks. You have a second identical QNAP sitting there, ready to just take over automatically if the main one hits a snag. It's like a safety net.
Makes total sense. Okay, now QNAP also mentions something called RAG Search in a beta for their QSearch app, RAG Chic.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Okay, yeah, HARAG. This is where it gets kind of clever. It stands for Retrieval Augmented Generation Search.
Okay.
Basically, it's using AI to help you search your files on your NAS. To get it working, you'd manually install the QSearch beta version 5.6.0, then you enable this RAG search feature.
Right.
Then you need to hook it up to an AI model like OpenAI or Gemini by putting in your own API keys. And you also tell it which folders on your NAS you want the AI to process and understand.
Huh. So it's not just looking for the exact word project. It could actually understand what I'm looking for within my documents.
That's the idea. Instead of just finding files containing project, it could potentially handle a more complex query. Something like, find the initial design proposals for the marketing project from last spring.
Wow.
Yeah, by understanding the context, not just keywords, this kind of intelligent search.
Oh.
Well, it could really change how people manage and actually find the information they've stored.
That could be huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Switching gears to Synology, one thing that definitely caught my eye was this new iCloud photo downloader app they're apparently developing.
Ah, yes.
As someone with, let's just say, a lot of photos in iCloud, easily getting them onto my own storage sounds, well, pretty appealing.
It really highlights a common issue, doesn't it? People have their digital lives spread out. Cloud services, local devices like a NAS. This app is specifically designed to bridge that gap for your iCloud photos.
So download them straight to the Synology.
Exactly. The goal is to make it straightforward, get those photos onto your NAS for, you know, quicker access, and that extra layer of security having a local copy.
And it sounds like there are options for how they get downloaded.
That's right. Looks like two main ways. You could download them as they appear in Apple's Photos app, so including any edits you've made.
Okay.
Or, and this is great if you shoot in RAW, those big uncompressed files, you can choose to download the original untouched versions.
Nice. Now, it sounds like this is still pretty early days.
Yeah.
And maybe not guaranteed for all Synology NAS boxes.
That seems to be the case. The info suggests it's not quite clear yet if this will roll out to the entire disk station range, or if maybe it'll be exclusive to their B station line.
Ah, the B station.
Yeah, and it's worth remembering the B station already has some built-in ways to back up from iCloud and Google Photos.
Okay, so for anyone not familiar, what's the main difference between, say, a disk station NAS and this B station?
Think of B station as Synology's simpler, more consumer-friendly offering. It's often aimed at individuals, families, people who want the personal cloud benefits without diving into all the advanced features and setup of a traditional NAS. More plug and play.
Got it. Yeah. So if you have a regular Synology NAS, you're an iCloud user,
yeah,
and maybe this app doesn't come to your model right away. Are there other options?
Oh, absolutely. The sources mention a couple of manual ways. You could just download photos from iCloud to your computer, then copy them over to the NAS.
Right, the old-fashioned way.
Pretty much. Apple also has that data take-up service where you can request a big archive of all your iCloud data, photos included. And for the more techie folks using Docker, you know, those application containers, there's apparently a third-party tool called iCloud Bead that can do the job.
Good to know there are all alternatives. Okay, let's stick with Synology, but talk about the BStation Plus. Seems like some news there, too.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. They've announced a new version, the Plus, and the big deal is it's running on an Intel processor, and it comes with 8 terabytes of storage built right in.
Intel inside a BStation, that's a step up.
It is. A definite bump in processing power compared to the original. And maybe even more significantly, the latest BStation OS update, version 1.3, came out May 8th, 2025. This update specifically enables Plex media server support, but only for this new BStation Plus model.
Wow, Plex on a BStation. That could be a real game changer for people wanting a simple home media streaming setup.
It definitely broadens its appeal, yeah. And besides Plex, that BStation OS 1.3 update adds a couple other useful things. You can now configure how long internal restore points are kept, giving you more control over backup storage. Plus, you can now pick a specific time slot for the BProtect backup process to run. That helps optimize performance, you know, run backups when you're not actively using it.
Makes sense. What about the nuts and bolts, the hardware specs for the BStation Plus?
Well, based on info from CES back in January, it's using an Intel Celeron J4125 CPU.
Okay.
Comes with 4 gigs of DDR4 RAM, which is pretty decent for this kind of device. As we said, 8 terabyte storage built in. Connectivity-wise, there's a single USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type-A port, one Type-C port, and the standard gigabit Ethernet jack.
But no Wi-Fi.
Still no built-in Wi-Fi, interestingly, just like the original.
Huh. Okay. Sounds like a solid upgrade for that line. And I remember hearing whispers about another new BStation model a while back.
You do. Yeah, back in October 2024, there was a hint of something codenamed BST-170-8T.
Right.
The speculation then was maybe a single or dual-bay 8TB NAS, also aimed at less tech-savvy home users. It's quite possible this BStation Plus is the final version of that BST-170-8T we glimpsed.
Ah, okay, that connects the dots. Let's move over to Raspberry Pi then. New OS release just dropped. For those of us tinkering with Pis, what are the key takeaways?
Right. This latest Raspberry Pi OS, dated May 8th, 2025, it's pretty significant because it's likely the last one based on Debian Bookworm.
Before they move to Trixie.
Exactly. So kind of the final polish on the current base. And there are several changes, some visual, some under the hood.
Okay, tell me about the stuff you'd actually see as a user.
Well, one noticeable thing is a revamped screen lock. They're using an application called Sway Lock, and they've improved it by adding a proper password entry box. Just gives you better visual feedback when you're typing your password.
Okay, how do you activate it?
Usual shortcut, Ctrl Alt DOS, or you can get to it from the shutdown menu.
Nice. A small touch, but probably makes it feel a bit more polished. Any security updates?
Yes, actually. They've tweaked how auto login works to address a potential vulnerability. Previously, if you had desktop auto login enabled, the command line console, the TTY you get with Ctrl Alt F1, would also be logged in automatically. Now they've separated those options.
Oh.
So the recommendation now is if you use screen locking, you should probably turn off the console auto login. Just prevents someone potentially bypassing the lock screen via the console. You can change this in their Raspberry Pi configuration tool or the command line Raspi config.
That's a really good heads up for security-minded Pi users.
Mm-hmm.
What about printing? Setting up printers can sometimes be tricky on Linux.
They've tried to simplify that too. They've replaced the older tool, System Config Printer, with a new standalone app just called Printers.
Okay.
It's based on the GNOME printer tools, and the idea is it should be more intuitive. You'll find it under Preferences in the main menu.
Sounds promising.
Yeah.
And what if you're using a Pi with a touchscreen? Any improvements there?
Yes. They've done some work on touchscreen handling, specifically when using Wayland, the display server. Previously, they defaulted to mouse emulation to work around some issues.
Right. Tap equals click.
Exactly. Now, you can choose stick with mouse emulation or switch to native multi-touch support, which allows proper gestures like swiping to scroll. More flexibility there.
Nice. Sounds like a fairly well-rounded update then. Anything else worth mentioning?
It's running version 0.8.1 of the LabRectorack Wayland Window Manager, Linux kernel 6.12. They've also apparently made some performance tweaks, faster startup for the taskbar, WF-panelpy. And they introduced a new, supposedly more efficient command line dialog tool called Zenity to replace the old Zenity.
Okay, so how do people get this new version?
Standard way is just open a terminal and run sudo apt-update and then sudo apt-full upgrade.
Right.
That'll pull down all the latest packages. Or, of course, you can grab the latest Raspberry Pi imager and just write a fresh OS image to your SD card or SSD.
Got it. Okay, let's switch over to storage hardware. Lots happening with SSDs, it seems. Western Digital's got a new high-performance drive coming.
Yeah, the WD Black SN8100. It's generating quite a bit of buzz. Official details are still a bit thin, but leaks and retailer listings suggest it could be a real speed demon.
How fast are we talking?
Well, the rumors for the 4 TB model are read speeds up to 14,900 megabytes per second
Wow.
and writes up to 14,000 megabytes. Even the 2TB model is supposedly hitting over 2.3 million IOPS.
IOPS, that's the random access speed, right?
Yeah.
Good for responsiveness.
Exactly. Input-output operations per second. Crucial for things like OS boot times, loading apps quickly. These numbers put it right up against the top-tier drives out there now.
Like which ones?
Think Samsung's 9100 Pro, the Kingston Fury, Renegade G5, that kind of territory.
Mm-hmm.
It's also speculated to use the SM2508 controller, which is built on a 6-nanometer process.
Meaning better efficiency, lower power.
Generally, yeah. Smaller process usually translates to better performance per watt.
Sounds like a very strong contender then. When might we actually see it?
We're starting to see listings appear mainly in Europe so far. Amazon Germany actually had a pre-order page for the 1TB model, priced around 200 euros, with a release date listed as May 30th, 2025.
So very soon, potentially.
Looks like it. And we'd expect the 2TB and 4TB versions to follow closely.
Okay. Now, Computex Taipei is coming up fast, May 20th to 23rd. Both ADATA and Transcend are going to be there showing off new stuff. What's the focus?
Computex is always big for announcements. ADATA's theme is advancing AI innovation, so expect lots related to that.
Right.
On the storage front, they're talking about enterprise SSDs for AI servers, industrial SSDs with lifecycle monitoring, even new DDR5 LPCMM2 memory modules. That's a compact RAM format for AI laptops.
LPCMM2.
Well, yeah,
Interesting.
and they're also teasing Thunderbolt 5 external SSDs.
Thunderbolt 5, that'll be fast.
Should be a huge jump. And a new Gen 5 gaming SSD under their XPG brand as well.
Okay, what about Transcend?
Also focusing on high-speed storage, they'll have industrial solutions, embedded SSDs, high-capacity drives for edge computing.
Edge computing, processing data locally.
Right, closer to the source. They're also unveiling their new PCIe Gen 5 gaming SSD, plus some water-resistant portable SSDs, and the latest CFexpress 4.0 memory cards for high-end cameras.
So speed and capacity seem to be the name of the game for both of them across the board.
Pretty much. And speaking of capacity, check this out. iStorage just announced what they claim is the world's first 26-TB encrypted desktop drive.
26 terabytes, encrypted.
Yeah. PIN authenticated, hardware encrypted. They're Disaster DT3 and DT2 models. The DT3 is even going for FIPS 143 Level 3 certification.
That's serious security.
Government grade stuff. AES, XTS, 256-bit hardware encryption, secure microprocessor. This comes after iStorage acquired Kangaroo Solutions, another secure storage company, so they're really doubling down on this market.
Impressive capacity and security for those who need it. Now, back on the more mainstream side, it looks like ADATA hasn't forgotten about SATA users.
That's right. You know, NVMe gets all the headlines, but SATA is still very much alive. ADATA's got this Trusta T5 series.
Trusta T5.
Yeah, they'll offer them in SATA 3 and PCIe 4.0 versions, interestingly, and in both the standard 2.5-inch format and the little M.2 sticks. They even include power failure protection.
That's useful.
Definitely. So yeah, it's a good reminder that SATA SSDs still have a role, maybe for older systems or just where you need decent, reliable storage without paying top dollar for bleeding-edge speed.
Good point. Okay, let's circle back to Synology quickly. They've got a solution day happening in Naples, Italy, on May 20th. What's that all about?
These solution day events are Synology's way of showcasing their latest products and solutions directly to partners and more serious users.
So what's the focus in Naples?
They'll have sessions on Active Protect, that's their backup and restore suite, and their whole video surveillance ecosystem. Big news is they're also set to premiere their new X25 Plus series NAS devices.
X25 Plus 8, what's the target for those?
Seems to be SMBs and maybe advanced home users. The event also has a panel discussion, networking, Even a Kahoot quiz to win Synology gear, apparently.
Sounds like a good event for pros and enthusiasts in Italy.
Yeah, definitely aimed at resellers, system integrators, and business users, but also welcomes passionate home users, too.
And speaking of Synology hardware, they've also quietly rolled out a new big NAS, the DiskStation DS1825 plus Sella.
That's right, an 8-bay unit. So holds up to 8 drives, lots of scalability potential.
8 bays. What kind of capacity are we talking about?
Well, if you load it up with today's 20-terabyte drive, that's 160 terabytes raw storage just in the main unit.
Wow.
And you can expand it further with their expansion units up to a pretty massive 360 terabytes raw.
Okay, so clearly for serious storage needs. What about features?
The source mentions status lights, drive indicators, USB 3.2 Gen 1 ports.
Yeah.
Importantly, it has 2.5 gigabit Ethernet ports built in.
Faster networking out of the box.
Yeah, and there's also a network upgrade slot if you want to add a 10 GB e-card later, plus the expansion ports, of course.
Gotcha. Okay, let's move to another popular NAS OS, Unraid. Stable release of 7.1.0 is out. What are the highlights there?
Unraid 7.1.0 stable dropped May 5th, 2025. Builds on 7.0.0, obviously. One really big new feature is the ability to import ZFS pools from other systems.
ZFS pools? From where?
From places like TrueNAS, Proxmox, even QNAP or Ubuntu systems. ZFS is that advanced file system known for data integrity.
Right.
So this makes migrating to Unraid or just consolidating storage much easier if you were already using ZFS elsewhere.
That sounds incredibly useful for people switching platforms. What else is new?
They've improved the mover, that's Unraid's tool for shifting data between cache and the main array. Important fixes for removing or replacing drives when using ZFS or BTRS file systems. Better DHCP handling, and surprisingly, official Wi-Fi support.
Wi-Fi and Unraid, really?
Yeah. Manual or automatic region selection for compliance, support for modern USB Wi-Fi adapters. You can even run Docker containers or WireGuard VPN over Wi-Fi now.
Huh. That opens up some interesting placement options, doesn't it? If you can't easily run Ethernet, what about virtualization? Unraid's big for VMs.
Some nice improvements there, too. User VM templates, save and reuse your VM setups easily. CPU pinning is now optional, so Unraid can handle it automatically if you prefer. Fixes in the XML view for config, enhanced VergL support.
VergL. For GPU sharing.
Right, letting you share GPU resources, including NVIDIA cards via the Nuvo driver between Linux VMs, and VMs using the QXL virtual GPU can now boot directly into a graphical desktop.
Sounds like a really solid update for the Unraid crowd. Lots of focus on storage flexibility and boosting virtualization. Now, quick mention of a QNAP networking product.
Yeah, the QSW1108-8TR2. It's an unmanaged switch, pretty straightforward, but the key thing is it has 8 ports, and they're all 2.5 gigabit Ethernet.
So faster than standard gigabit.
Exactly. A step up for networks that have devices supporting 2.5 GBE. It's fanless, so silent operation, low power draw, only 12W max, supports the IE 802.3BO standard for 2.5G.
Seems like a decent, affordable way to get faster speeds on a small network. Okay, back to Synology again, potentially some new hard drives on the horizon.
It looks that way. An interesting find inside the software package for the DS925 plus NAS, 4 new Synology-branded HDD models were spotted.
Which models?
HAT3320-0, 8T, HAT5310, 12T, HAT5311-16T, and HAT5311-20T. They aren't listed on Synology's site yet, so it suggests they're upcoming additions to their own hard drive line, likely tuned for their NAS units.
Always interesting to see what's in the pipeline. On a less positive note, though, especially for our listeners in the U.S., Synology prices seem to be going up.
Unfortunately, yeah. Reports indicate price spikes on Synology gear, specifically in the U.S. The likely culprit seems to be tariffs on imported goods.
Just in the U.S., though.
It appears so. Prices outside the U.S. seem to be holding steady, according to the sources, but definitely something for U.S. buyers to be aware of right now.
Definitely. Okay, let's talk security vulnerability. ASA put out an advisory about Docker Engine.
Yes, moderate severity vulnerability, CVE-2025-27144. It affects a component in Docker Engine called the Go Cherokee Library.
And this impacts Acer NAS units.
Specifically, units running their ADM OS version 4.3 or later if they have Docker Engine version 27.1.1 installed.
Okay, what's the vulnerability?
Basically, if the system parses a maliciously crafted JWS or JWE TokenThink digital security certificates that has tons of extra junk characters, it can cause Docker Engine to eat up way too much memory,
leading to
potential denial of service. The system could become unresponsive. The good news is a fix is available in Docker Engine 28.0.1, and SSCERSEP updates for their products are coming.
Good reminder to keep everything updated. Now, for a little blast from the past, one source revisited the Western Digital Velociraptor VR200 Aimer from 15 years ago.
Ah, yeah, the 10,000 RPM screamer. It's amazing to look back.
It was fast for a hard drive then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Fastest SATA HDD around. The review compared it to a standard 7,200 RPM drive, the WD Caviar Black, and an early SSD, a Corsair P128.
And how did it stack up?
Well, it beat other hard drives and benchmarks, for sure. But against that early SSD, it often lost out in real-world stuff, like booting Windows or launching applications.
Ah, the dawn of the SSD era.
Exactly. Plus, the Velociraptor was expensive, used more power, and was noticeably louder. The conclusion even back then was, you know, maybe a fast SSD plus a big cheap HDD was becoming the smarter combo. Really shows how far SSDs have come.
Definitely puts current tech in perspective. And speaking of HDDs, Western Digital shared some sales figures for their really high capacity drives recently.
They did. Over 800,000 of their 11 platter drives sold in the last quarter. These are the massive 26 to 32 terabyte capacity drives.
We're buying those.
Primarily cloud providers and AI data centers. Shows there's still huge demand for sheer capacity, even with SSDs getting bigger. These drives use both CMR and SMR recording technologies.
Right, conventional and shingled magnetic recording.
Yeah. WD also mentioned their roadmap, aiming for up to 36 TB with current tech like EPMR and OptiNAND before eventually transitioning to HEMR heat-assisted magnetic recording, targeting late 2026 for that.
So HDDs aren't dead yet, especially the high end. Okay, QNAP had another update too for their QuantS Hero operating system.
Right, QuantS Hero H5.3.0. Introduced some pretty significant features. First is a high availability manager.
Like the HA we discussed earlier.
Exactly, but built into QuantS Hero. Lets you cluster two identical NAS units for continuous service if one fails. Big for uptime.
What else?
Immutable snapshots. These are point-in-time data copies that cannot be changed or deleted, even by an admin, until a set expiration date. Great protection against ransomware or accidental deletion.
Immutable, so truly read-only.
Essentially, yeah. Though, interestingly, they note it's not currently supported within an HA cluster setup.
Okay. Anything else in that update?
Yes, a KMIP service. Key Management Interoperability Protocol. Basically, a way to centrally manage the encryption keys for your encrypted shared folders and LUNs. More streamlined key handling.
Sounds like solid enterprise-grade features making their way into QuantS Hero. Now, one of the more, let's say, intriguing items was about Synology DSM, something potentially concerning.
Yeah, this one raised a few eyebrows. It seems DSM now has functionality where disk compatibility database updates. Well, they can include and automatically run arbitrary executable files, specifically shell scripts.
Run scripts automatically as part of an update. How?
During the processing of an update file, ATSE file, the installer apparently looks for an archive named systemextend.tgz. If found, it extracts it and executes a script inside called systemextend.esh.
Okay. Why is that concerning?
It's the naming conventions found in the actual DSM source code related to this.
Yeah.
Function names like Synodisk Debackdoor Untar and Synodisk Debackdoor Apply, reportedly from a file called diskbackdoorrelated.c.
Backdoor. That doesn't sound good.
It certainly doesn't inspire confidence. Mm-hmm. While the source suggests this currently only happens during the DSM installation stage, having code with those names related to updates, well, it raises questions about potential future misuse, maybe for online updates or other things. It's something the security community will be watching very closely, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely unsettling language there. Okay, shifting to something more mundane but still relevant, availability issues for the new Synology DS925 Plus in the U.S.
Seems like a bit of a bumpy rollout. Synology's own site apparently lists it as available now for U.S. resellers.
Right.
But Amazon listings are showing delayed shipping, maybe June 15th or even later. So some inconsistency there. Might be tricky to get hold of one immediately, depending on where you look.
Good to know if you're eager to buy one. Finally, something a bit different. Plex introduced a new subscription plan, Remote Watch Pass.
Yeah, this looks like a way to offer a cheaper tier focused specifically on remote streaming. So watching media from your own Plex server or one shared with you by a friend when you're away from home.
So just for remote access?
Primarily, it offers that core remote streaming capability, and depending on the specific plan tier, might also bundle in other premium features like downloads, skip intro, maybe hardware transcoding. Yeah. Seems like Plex is trying to offer more tailored options for different types of users.
Interesting move. Okay, wow, that was a lot. Let's try to quickly recap the key things. We had QANP making HA more accessible and adding AI search.
Synology working on iCloud photo backups, launching the BStation Plus with Plex support.
Raspberry Pi OS getting a solid update with usability and security tweaks.
The SSD market heating up with WD's super-fast SN8100, plus previews from Adadet and Transcend for Computex.
Don't forget iStorage's massive 26 TB encrypted drive and Adata, still supporting SATA.
Right, plus Synology Solution Day, the new 8-bay DS1E25 plus NAS, the big stable release for Unraid 7.1.0.
QNAP's 2.5 GPE switch, potential new Synology hard drives, those Synology price hikes in the US.
The AsusStor Docker vulnerability that look back at the old Velociraptor.
WD selling tons of high-capacity HDDs, QNAP's QuantiS Hero updates with HA and immutable snapshots.
That, concerning Synology DSM backdoor discussion, the DS925 Plus availability hiccups.
And finally, Plex's new remote watch pass. Phew, it's certainly a fast-moving space.
It absolutely is. And you know, with all our data growing, and threats like ransomware always evolving, it really makes you think, doesn't it? How are you, listening right now, thinking about your own storage, your data protection strategy? Especially after hearing about all these new developments, what capabilities stand out, or maybe what new concerns have popped up? Definitely something worth mulling over as you navigate your own digital world.